Okay, hello everyone and welcome to today's teleseminar called How to Find Your Profitable Essence. My name is Damien Sen and it's a great pleasure having you on the call today. In a few moments from now, I'll be joined by our very special guest, Nancy Mamalejo. But before I introduce Nancy, please allow me to share how this call will work today, particularly if this is your first peopleyoushouldmeet.com call that you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Nancy a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted in through the site prior to the call by you, our listeners. Now, this is actually the second time that Nancy has been on the People You Should Meet program. Last year, we did a call on exploring the whole notion of gaining or increasing marketplace visibility, which for any small business owner, you know, it's one of the core challenges and concerns and also opportunities in terms of actually taking your work and expressing it in the world. Now, this call is intended to actually extend that conversation further and also go a little bit deeper into who you really are and really drawing that out and really offering that as service to the world. Yeah, it's an area of great excitement for me, and Nancy has so many wonderful nuggets to share, as she always so freely does. So it gives me great pleasure to explore this topic with our very special guest, Nancy Mamalejo. How are you doing there, Nancy?
I'm doing great, Damien. Thanks for inviting me to be here today.
Welcome. Now, Nancy, I just thought I'd actually kick us off by just exploring this whole concept of profitable essence. It may be a new paradigm for many people, and I was just wondering if you could just share some insight into what it actually means and how it actually is relevant to the small business owner of today.
Oh, yes, it sure is. So let me give a little tiny bit of history. Over the last 7 years, I've had my own business. I've worked, you know, have had primarily an online business. I made that choice so that I could raise my daughter and be close to home. And I realized that I needed to really leverage my visibility online. And there are a lot of different ways that you can become known and get famous or what have you on the internet, particularly with social media in the last couple of years. I was an early adopter of social media. I was out there telling everybody to use social media back in 2006, and most people were telling me I was crazy and that it was only for kids. And okay, so that wasn't quite that. I kept saying, just you wait. And now, you know, we're at that pinnacle where it's all happening. I had a lot of visibility for myself, and there were people who came to me wanting to know, how do you become so visible? How did you do it? And I teach them my visibility strategies, but always emphasizing that there's this balance between the tactics, you know, get on Facebook, get on Twitter, publish articles, all of those things that you do, the actions you take to get out there. But there's this other half of it, and it's who you are as the brand, who you are as the personality, what makes you distinctive. And I felt this imbalance that was starting to happen where everybody just wanted to hear the numbers stuff. I just want 1,000 people on my Facebook page. I just want 10,000 followers on Twitter. And people were not really focusing on that part about what makes you distinctive, what makes you the it person in your industry, so that the social media can work for you. You're not working for it. And it got to the point where I realized I needed to bring up this topic of what I call your profitable essence, because this is the part of you that makes you unique and distinctive and will make people want to do business with you. And it makes the tools such as social media, all the online visibility strategies, let's say blogging, video, all of those things will work for you and finally give you results once you have this identity in place. You have this profitable essence, who you are when you're doing your greatest work, what your greatest work is, and what makes you distinctive from everybody else in your field.
Absolutely. Now, I know from personal experience, it can be challenging, particularly for people that are moving across from a corporate environment where, like, a lot of these environments don't really cater for the individual, and full self-expression isn't necessarily high on a lot of corporate objectives for their employees. But for someone who's come from that environment and then moved across, like, I can see how very valuable it is to really connect with that that individual nature and the individual gifts and talents that someone comes to offer the world.
Yes.
And I guess for someone making that transition, Nancy, do you have any insights you can guide people to open up more fully to the gifts and talents they've come to bring the world?
Yes, actually, I do. And for everyone listening, I have there are a couple of different things that you could do. One, there's an assessment that I created that's pretty quick and simple that gives people the opportunity to look into some parts of themselves. This is really the underworkings of what makes your business successful.
Mm.
So let me just give the address for that right now, and then let's see if we can give it again later on for anybody who might have missed the beginning of the call. But it's profitable, and then the word essence, essence.com/handout. And that page will give you access to an assessment that you can check out, and maybe if we have time later on, we can touch upon that. But there's also just, you know, what you want to do is you want to start really looking within at what it is that makes you distinct and where your greatest talents are. Oftentimes these are the things that we overlook, such as being quick and intuitive, a fast decision maker, an advocate for others, having skills and talents that you take for granted because they come so easy to you. For some people, it's a creative ability. For other people, it's a strategic, logical ability. And so we start looking in, what are the, you know, who are we when we're doing our greatest work? What are the different things that we bring to the table? And how can we apply that to a situation where we can offer it to our clients and they'll say yes to it? And that's really how the transformation starts to happen.
Mm. Excellent. Now, for lots of people that I meet, they actually take for granted their real core genius because it's so second nature. Do you have any, for someone who may not be aware of these core talents or maybe residing in their blind spot, what are some easy ways for them to I guess, really connect with that as well?
Oh, yes. So for the people who are, I like the way you said that, residing in their blind spot, we all have a blind spot.
Mm.
You know, for myself, I work with mentors and coaches because I say, you know what, tell me what I'm not seeing because I can't always see it. Do for me what I do for my clients. So I have a pretty quick and easy formula for people to work through this. So if those of you listening, grab something to write with. Now, my business is called Viva Visibility, so I created this little acronym using the letters from Viva, V-I-V-A, like Viva Las Vegas. So what I want you to do is just write down just grab a piece of paper, just write at the top of it, Viva Formula. This is truly the spice that you need to help uncover that part of you. For the letter V, the first letter V, just write the letter V on one side, and then next to it write the word validate. Okay, inside all of us, we need to validate what we know to be true about ourselves. Okay, even if you have a blind spot, whatever, we all know things that we can do well. We can all say something great about ourselves. Maybe you're a great listener. Maybe you have a creative ability. Maybe, you know, once again, you have a strategic mind, whatever. Just validate yourself for having the skills and the talents that you have. So that's the first V. It stands for validate. And then underneath that, write the letter I. We're going to spell out the word Viva, and we have a word for each of the letters. It's an acronym. The letter I stands for investigate. Now, you've done sort of and validate is really coming from a feeling place. You know, validate what kind of person you are. Validate who you are. Now, let's investigate. Investigate is really going within and doing some kind of a self-assessment. For example, you can do the assessment that I just gave you the link to and do that sort of an investigation in yourself where your strengths lie. And you can also probably see some of your blind spots, but investigate and give yourself that assessment of, you know, your skills and your talents and proof of where those show up.
Mm.
the third letter of the acronym is, once again, the letter V, and that's going to stand for verify. This is what really makes the difference between somebody who is stepping into their profitable essence and somebody who's just sort of thinking about things like life purpose. I know there were some questions that came in about, you know, what might be the difference between life purpose and profitable essence. This is the difference here, because when we verify it, we're taking it outside of ourselves. We're putting it into our business. And verifying means getting outside verification that what you said in your validation and investigation process are actually true. So this can be some kind of an accomplishment that somebody else has acknowledged you for. Let's say you're working with a client and they had a success story. Well, that success story is outside proof that you're good at what you do. Any kind of testimonial, maybe you've been assessed by somebody on the outside, or perhaps even having one of the, like a Myers-Briggs assessment or DISC or all the different types of assessments, something that verifies that you truly are who you say you are and you can do what you say that you do. That single act is what really helps a person have the confidence to stand out there as the it person in their industry. And then the letter A stands for act. You have this information, you've validated, you've investigated, you've verified, now take action. What is the action going to be? And you can use this formula in practically any part of your business, but especially for this piece about getting to the root of what it is that makes you unique, what makes you distinctive, where your talents lie, this is an extremely valuable exercise that can start the breakthrough happening right now.
Excellent. Now, lots of people that I know who set up their own small businesses have actually remarked it's probably one of the best personal development growth workshops you can go on, because you get to learn lots of things that you didn't actually know about yourself.
Oh, my God, is that true? You know, if you have issues with boundaries, just go into business for yourself. And then wake up one day and you're completely overcommitted and freaking out, and you realize, ooh, I need to set some boundaries. Or, you know, just how we spend money, how we talk to other people, cultivating relationships. I mean, there are just – there actually are a number of people out there right now who are talking about how the entrepreneurial movement is a new branch of the personal development movement. And what just the type of entrepreneurs who are emerging right now who have a consciousness around personal growth and the need to further develop ourselves, I find it fascinating.
Absolutely. And it's almost like a lot of people that I've met as well, they almost get to that stage in their own personal development where working for anyone else other than themselves becomes totally unpalatable. And that they've got to share what they have inside of them and really make an impact in the world. So, like it's definitely an extension of that whole personal growth model that's just really just overflowing into the business world.
Yeah, and what's really cool about it is that we can talk about things like this, like profitable essence, like going into your greatest strengths and, you know, validating oneself. There's a space for it right now. Because our businesses are a reflection of who we are when we're doing our greatest work. And if we want to have the greatest impact, then we need to step into that. And once again, I'll just reiterate, the tools and the tactics like social media and becoming highly visible, those are great things to have. I've been, you know, speaking about this for years and years and years. But if you don't have that foundation underneath you, then you'll just be one of the many people who are employing all these tactics without a real strategy behind it. And, you know, one of the saddest things is that I remember people who I first kind of met going on Twitter a few years back. And their whole thing was just being on Twitter all day long, and they, you know, added social media expert to their profile. And they had 20,000 friends, and it looked like they were always really busy on Twitter. And then you'd ask, you know, you'd find out they didn't have any money. They weren't getting any clients. They didn't really And other than this high level of visibility, there was really no there. They were just sort of known for being known.
Mm.
And you have to have more to it than that.
Mm. And Nancy, do these principles, are they equally relevant to the person starting out as to someone who's been on the journey for a while?
Absolutely. Absolutely. These are things that have to be in place no matter where you are in the journey. I have a lot of clients who are in the startup phase, and they want to start out right. They're not coming in so green that they feel they have to, you know, spend the next 5 years learning the ropes, because when you start to pull in your life experiences, you realize you're a whole lot farther along than you really are. The rest of it is just mindset. And there are a lot of people who hold themselves back. You know, they'll say, oh, I'm a startup, I can't do that yet. And then you realize it's like, okay, if we just took away that belief, you'd actually be a whole lot farther along, because you're probably smarter than the top 10 people who are out there, you know, calling themselves the gurus. Everybody has this guru element in them. And it's just a matter of being able to showcase it in a way that, you know, that works for you and it's authentic and it attracts clients.
And do you find also having a connection to the profitable essence actually helps people to get started? Because I see lots of people that have an idea for a business that may not actually be connected with who they are as people, that struggle to get things moving. But if someone could actually begin from that profitable essence,
absolutely,
it would actually propel them forward in that startup phase.
Yeah, and I love your questions. Thank you. This is perfect. I love these questions. This is really what it's all about. So let me give you an example. There's a client of mine who came to me with a few years, you know, some experience, years of experience, a average business, low to average as far as revenues are concerned. Skill level, very high. Money, low.
Mm.
That happens a lot with solo entrepreneurs.
Mm.
You know, we're smart, we're great at what we do, but we just can't seem to bring the business in.
Mm.
And so what happens is there's this panic that happens. If you ever see an animal when they're in a state of panic, they start, you know, going crazy, running around, doing crazy things, actually hurting themselves more in the process.
Mm.
So there's this panic that sets in with a lot of people, and they start making decisions from the wrong place. They're making decisions from a place of fear as opposed to a place of strength.
Mm.
So this one person that I was working with, she obviously from a place of fear started offering all kinds of different programs, just anything and everything. You know, I mean, you could have added window washing. I mean, she could have added window washing. It was just all these different ways to serve clients, and there was no cohesiveness to it. It actually got really confusing. Nobody really knew what to buy, and so they just didn't.
Mm.
And it was hard for her to, and she was trying to make it work with what she was offering. Like, oh, I got these 10 things. How do I get all these people to buy these 10 things?
Mm.
In our coaching, we started working around the profitable essence, and we realized, you know what, put those 10 things aside. Let's find that one showpiece. Let's find that one that really shines, that's going to bring people out to take notice of you. And there was this one part of her business, and it was this skill and this talent of around public speaking that had not been showcased properly. It had been sort of put on the shelf with a million other things and nobody could ever realize it.
Mm.
Once she pulled that out and she showcased that as part of her profitable essence, where she was able to really put her strengths and her unique talents into how she teaches people to be public speakers, and then to create programs around it addressing, you know, her particular talent around teaching public speaking, suddenly everything in her business changed.
Mm.
People were signing up for her programs. She got more clients. She made more money.
Mm.
She finally felt relaxed. And all of those other millions of things that she offered, she didn't have to throw them away. But now she could put them underneath this big public speaking, you know, brand and say, okay, if you need to learn how to use Facebook, Facebook for public speakers, and here's, you know, all these other things for public speakers. So you don't have to reinvent everything or toss anything out, but it's just this this great spring cleaning that happens. And that was a huge success story, and there are many, many more just like that. So regardless if a person is coming in brand new or they've been around there for a little while, when you have a focus and a confidence around the greatest talent that you're offering, monetizing it becomes so much easier.
Absolutely. I love that concept, and it's a very, very powerful distinction. And for those of you that do have pens and papers, like I was actually really writing down profusely there, but the whole notion of one showpiece is really something that's a very, very powerful distinction to make, whatever stage of business you're at. And I just love the whole idea of actually eliminating rather than accumulating, and actually cutting things back and refining things and really getting back to the core as a business model. Because I guess in the world that we're living in today, it's almost like there's so many choices and exciting possibilities that are on the horizon, and actually to keep coming back to that core talent is an amazing piece of advice, Nancy.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, another interesting thing you brought up, Nancy, was this whole notion of fear. And I know many people who do start their own businesses do go into overwhelm, and fear can actually be a daily friend or partner through their business. And I was just wondering if you had any tips for people who may find themselves in that space of fear, how to actually allow themselves some time and space during the week to step outside of it so they can return back to that more strategic way of thinking.
Well, this is really where some of the wonderful life pieces come into it. When I teach the Profitable Essence program, there is a foundation meditation that's included as part of it. And it's led by a woman who's been teaching and training people to be healers for over 2 decades. And it's just a very nice, calming, grounding meditation. And so I put it out there, and I just let everybody know, okay, if you really want to have success with this program, listen to this every day. It's 19 minutes long. It doesn't take a whole lot out of you. You could probably, you know, if I were to say watch TV for 19 minutes, you'd think that was not enough time. I say, can you sit quietly for 19 minutes? Oh, I'm just so busy. So what's been amazing is that the people who were able to ground themselves using that meditation actually had better results, because they were able to calm a part of them. So you, once again, we did not enter into the decision-making like animals in a state of panic. And that's really, really what it's all about. It's just having that, you know, it's having that ability to get ourselves in a place where we're not freaking out, and we're not having this, you know, fear-based conversation with ourselves and making really crazy decisions like, oh, no, oh, no, what do I do now? Oh, no, oh, no, what do I do now?
Great. That's excellent advice. Now, Nancy, I mentioned earlier on we had questions come in from all around the world, so I just thought I'd ask a few of them now. Now, this one actually comes from Rob, who is in the United States, and Rob asks, I'm feeling stuck around my business and need help getting unstuck. Where is the best place to start?
Good question, Rob, and I want to just give you a reference back to the two resources I've already shared. First of all, it would be the assessment where you can access it, profitableessence.com/handout. And, you know, I would definitely start there, because it's going to give you some insights into how intuitive you are around your business, and also how connected you are to your message and to your market, and what types of systems and strategies do you have in place. So I would definitely start there. and also using that Viva formula to just look at your business and say, okay, you know, even right, you could do it right now while you're listening or even while we end this interview, say, okay, I'm feeling stuck around my business, and Nancy says that if I start looking at what makes me distinctive, it's going to start to pop that bubble of frustration. So, you know, start validate that part inside of you that you know is doing great work and that has that talent. Investigate, you know, do the assessment that I just referenced. Verify, ask around people that you've worked with. You know, it's really fishing for compliments. In some cases, we got to get whatever we want. It's like, hey, you know what? You told me one time, good job. Can you tell that to me again and tell me exactly why you said that and what I did that was so good? I mean, when people give us feedback and they say, oh, you're great, you have to come back at them and say, what part of it was great? And I'm not fishing for compliments. This is helping me understand my strengths. That's how we get out of the blind spot.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, and act. Take some action. Okay, you've got that information. What comes next? What comes next?
Awesome. Now, Nancy, you just earlier in that answer, like you brought up the whole concept of intuition, and I guess in a world that's moving so fast, intuition becomes a very important part of the toolkit for any solo entrepreneur or entrepreneur. And just had a question from Claire linked into that, and Claire is in the United Kingdom. And Claire asks, I find that using intuition in business can sometimes be challenging. How do you tell the difference between resistance or fear or when something is genuinely not right for you?
That's good. And that's one of the reasons why I advocate for people to check out this foundation meditation or something that's going to get you comfortable and used to just tapping into that voice within, because part of it is having to do some trust work with your intuition. Because if you are, you know, if you have, you know, what's the difference between resistance and fear and intuition, that tells me that there's not a clear knowing of when it really is your intuition that's talking to you. So, you know, I don't teach meditation, but I know that just having resources like that around where you can take a class on meditation, or there are classes on intuition and exercises that people can do. One of the earliest exercises that somebody taught me, which I thought was fantastic, was to imagine, okay, now, I don't know if, all right, I'm going to be a little, I might be too American on this one, because I don't know what stoplights look like around the world. Here they're green, red, and yellow. I hope that's international.
I think that it's pretty international.
Okay, you can tell. I'm sorry. I just, like, you know, I'm a homebody. I just don't get out of I just don't travel the world. Okay, so, and I know you call them a semaphore, not a stoplight. So international people, that thing, that light that makes you stop when you're driving your car, that's what I'm referring to right now. The exercise that was given to me was to ask yourself a question. Or, you know, if you're pondering something, and then to imagine a stoplight and just relax into it. And what is the color of the light that pops up? Red means stop, don't go any further. Green means go. Yellow means hold off. You might need a little bit more information. And that was one of the earliest intuition exercises that I was ever taught, and it was so quick and easy. And I'll never forget one time it was pouring rain, and it was just, the weather was horrible, but I needed to drive somewhere that was like an hour away and pick something up. And as I was pulling out of my street, I asked myself, is this a good idea? Should I take this drive? And what I got was the red. I got the red light.
Right.
And I went anyhow.
Right.
Oh, what a mistake that was. It ended up just being a nightmarish rest of my day.
Uh-huh.
And after that, I just said, you know what? I'm going to listen to my intuition a little bit more deeply. I'm going to pay attention to that spotlight, that stoplight. But that was really, I mean, that, as far as just playing around and asking yourself something, You know, do I really want to go to this party tonight? Or, you know, would this be good for me to do right now? Almost like a fortune.
Yeah.
You know, would it be good for me to take this action right now? Is now the time for me to, you know, do X, Y, and Z? See what happens with that stoplight. And I just think it's a really fun exercise that gets you in touch with your intuition.
Absolutely. It's just an excellent little practical tool that people can literally use anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Now, Nancy, lots of people actually talk about women's intuition, and I guess with the clients that you see and the people that come along to your workshops, do you actually see any truth in that? Do women have more access to this intuition in business, or is it something that's also open for men as well?
Well, I think it's, you know, culturally, I think it depends. Now, in my ancestry, I'm a combination of a couple of different things. I'm Mexican, I'm Native American, I'm German American, and I do participate in a lot of our Native American things that we have around here.
Mm.
And intuition is really not something that's seen as anything outside of yourself. People may or may not use that word intuition. They might say something on a more spiritual level, but the men, the women, the little kids, the old people know how to listen for signs and messages.
Mm.
And so for different cultures, it's completely appropriate. People just say, you know, the spirit spoke to me. That's how some people might say it. Or, you know, I saw a sign. Well, those are the same types of things. Those are intuitive hits.
Mm.
And, you know, and I think like here in the United States, if you're looking at mainstream culture and, you know, probably in Europe as well, people have gotten so into the rational mind
mm.
that they don't look at the intuitive part. And if you look at traditional cultures
mm.
and the influence that traditional cultures have, it's such a big difference.
Mm.
What is acceptable and what is not. People don't think you're crazy if you talk about having a bad feeling about something.
Mm.
Or a good feeling about something.
Yeah, yeah, that's an excellent point. And I think particularly with the realms of business as well, like that rational mind is pushed, particularly in most corporate environments or many MBA business programs, the rational mind is literally developed pretty much exclusively to that intuitive sense. And it's, I guess, just picking up on the point that you shared earlier, Nancy, how wonderful it is that the personal development world is actually now overlapping into this whole realm of entrepreneurial world as well, and lots of these intuitive impulses are being listened to by people and acted out from a place of service in business.
Yeah, there's a book I'd like to recommend, and I don't even know if it's in print anymore, but, you know, we can find anything in this world. It's called Creativity in Business.
Mm.
It was written in 1983 by a guy named Michael Ray, whose last name is spelled R-A-Y, and he taught, I think he still teaches, a course at Stanford University called Creativity in Business.
Mm.
Now, he wrote the book in 1983. He was teaching the class long before that, and Stanford University, you know, if you were there around that area in the 70s, this is when Silicon Valley was born, and he was in the hotbed of innovation.
Mm.
And so in this book, now the examples might be a little bit old, but these are the people who started the, you know, what we are now experiencing on a day-to-day level from this hotbed of Silicon Valley.
Mm.
And, you know, talking to people about, you know, how did you get the idea for that computer program? And somebody might say, well, I was out walking by a stream. I mean, they weren't pounding their head against a computer. They were out in nature. They were taking breaks. They were relaxing. And he teaches a variety of exercises to unhook from the rational mind and to move into the intuitive mind and then to blend the two of them together
mm.
so that it fuels your creativity and you apply that to your business.
Mm.
It's one of my absolute favorite books. When I get a lot of books sent to me, or I own a lot of books, I buy them all the time, and then a couple times a year I put them all in a box and I'll give them to my friends or take them, you know, to the library or something.
Mm.
This book of mine, this is a dog-eared version. I will not let go of it.
Brilliant.
And it's a real book.
It's, yeah, and it just reminded me of what you said earlier on in the call as well about this whole sphere of social networking and how you had that early hit and to actually immerse yourself in that world and be an early adopter and actually understand everything that's on offer there and actually to go against the conventional, probably rational assessment of all the people around you to really totally go for it.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded like a very similar process.
Yeah. And it takes, you know, it just takes a little unhooking from the control. You know, I need to know the results. I want to know what's on the other side. It's like, okay, what would happen if we relax? And so what I'm noticing is that with my clients, the people who are having the greatest success are the people who have just been able to step back and breathe for a moment.
Mm.
And knowing that, you know, whether you're in a state of panic or in a state of calm, the world's going to keep turning, and you can just, maybe those 5 minutes of unhooking from needing to know the answer will create the space for the answer to emerge.
Mm.
And that's really what happens. The other part of it is to surround yourself with people who are like-minded and who are open to similar types of things.
Mm.
So I think that's why it's so powerful when you bring people together who are open to these types of things, who are, you know, they want to achieve in their business. They are, you know, open to the fact that, you know, there's an intuitive piece that guides them and can help them make more money.
Mm.
So that's been something that's really important to me. I'm actually putting together an event that's happening June 3rd, 4th, and 5th,
mm.
very close to L.A.,
Mm.
Called I Heart My Biz, and that's going to be a big part of it, is bringing together people who are the soul-driven entrepreneur,
mm.
you know, really wanting to achieve as a business owner,
mm.
but to do it from this place of authenticity and to do it from this place that you know that you're tapping into your greatest strengths.
Mm. Excellent. I love that expression, soul-driven entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Now, this question comes from Bob, who is in the United States, and it's a challenge that lots of people have. And Bob asks, I have some difficulty talking with others about my strengths, my essence. What guidance do you have for me in becoming more open and comfortable sharing this?
You know, Bob, the verify part of the Viva formula is really one for you to do. I mean, do all four steps, but pay close attention to what comes out of that, because when we're talking about our strengths and we're feeling uncomfortable about it, there might be a part of us that's still not completely believing it.
Mm.
You know, there's so many people who are these self-proclaimed gurus and experts, and, you know, it's just, you look around, you're like, well, what credibility do you have? And the credibility happens when we have people outside of ourselves who are verifying that we are who we say we are and we can do what we say we do. And in my experience, it makes it much more comfortable talking about your strengths to people when you can either say, this is what my client said about working with me, you know, this is why we want to put testimonials out there to go with our work. This is what my client said about working with me, or, you know, this is how I've been described by these other people. You know, until you get comfortable actually saying it yourself,
mm.
use other people's words to talk about you.
Mm.
And then people will look and say, wow, is that true? And you'll go, yeah, it's true. You don't shrug your shoulders and say, nah, they just said that. You embrace it. And you take action. So part of your action, Bob, is to get to that place where you believe in yourself as much as you can, because you know, you probably have a great talent to share with the world, and if you're not able to communicate your essence to people and what makes you amazing, then you're not able to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
You're not able to activate the transformation that so many people need.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all of these folks out there, they're just, you know, the bubble is about to burst. They're so frustrated. They're on the cusp
mm.
of a breakthrough. And your expertise might be that one thing that gets them over to that place of a breakthrough.
Mm. It's very interesting. I've seen people have some powerful shifts when they turn the focus off themselves and actually on to the people that they're here to serve. And by not actually stepping forward and sharing their message, they're actually denying people the receiving of their talents, gifts and abilities, and often just that awareness can be totally transformative and really liberating as well. But that was an excellent question. Thanks, Bob. Now, this is a question from Jenny, who is in Canada, and Jenny asks, how much information is okay to share with potential customers or clients about who you really are before it becomes unprofessional?
Oh, Jenny, good question. That's good. You know, when I talk to people about social media, I always say, you know, you want to lead with your professional expertise, warm it up with some personal touch points, but don't put anything on there that's going to be such a distraction that it will build a wall instead of a bridge. So it really depends on what you're talking about with personal information. The first thing that I do, there's a four different steps that we take people through with Profitable Essence. And the second one, the first one is, we call it treasure hunting. That's where you're really going in and finding what makes you great and distinctive, and that's the big, you know, aha. And then you're like, oh, no, what do I do with it? So we move into a marketing point, and anything around marketing really needs to start with knowing who your ideal client is. So when you know who your ideal client is, then you're going to have a better idea about where that boundary lies. Because for some people, let's say you have a personal challenge or a chronic illness that you've overcome. Now, you might be afraid, well, if you share that with your clients, they might think that you're weak and they might not want to hire you. But if your clients and your ideal clients are people who need that inspiration, maybe they're dealing with a chronic illness and they need to see that somebody can identify with that, has been over it, is on the other side, and can bring them along too, then that's a big asset. Mm. So you really have to see where it fits into your overall business and to see whether it is something that will build a bridge or if it's something that will build a wall. There are a lot of people out there who love to polarize their audiences, so they're going to put their political views out there. They're going to put their, you know, what they think about this, that, and the other. And, you know, depending on who your ideal clients are and how pertinent that is, you know, you'll be able to figure out which way to go on that.
Great. I love that. Building bridges or walls. That's excellent. Now, this question comes from Brian, and I guess it's probably a question for people that have been on the path for a while and they've got their initial service offerings in place and are ready for that next big growth stage. And Brian in Australia asks, how can I use my essence to successfully upsell?
I love these questions. Brian, awesome. Okay, so that takes us into the third part of the Profitable Essence process. I haven't even outlined the process, but I guess I'm doing that here. Definitely get the handout. Definitely get the handout because it goes into a little bit more detail. But you're talking about upsell. That means about creating offers that people are going to say yes to. Mm. And that is actually a big piece of this because once you discover what's great about you, and which is the first key, and then you figure out a way to get people to want it, which is the second key, then you have to understand, well, how do I get people to buy it? Because there are a lot of people who can resonate with a message, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to buy from you. They need to figure out an easy way. So as far as incorporating this into an upsell, you know, it's using your profitable essence to showcase the talent that you bring to the table and the transformation that can happen with your clients and the value of that. So it doesn't even become an upsell. It just becomes an enhanced offering that people are going to say, of course I want that. And when you show up with that confidence and that distinction, it pretty much sells itself. Mm. And you also stand apart from the competition because you once again, you're as unique as a fingerprint. Mm. You could be next to somebody who's doing exactly what you're doing, but because of the way that you show up, you're doing it in a really distinctive way. Mm. And that is one of the best things about, you know, really knowing who you are when you're doing your greatest work is that your work pretty much sells itself.
Mm. And Nancy, look, all the way through the call, I've just been picking up these delightful little gems of turns of phrase. I'm fascinated by linguistics and language, but I just love the description, enhanced offering. And it just really resonates with that, coming from that position of real service to the people that you're working with.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, really being, you know, we look at our work. So many people are working from this place. They're feeling called to do this type of work. And it doesn't have to be an either-or dilemma of, well, I'm either going to serve people doing what I love or I'm going to make money. There is a way that you can put that out there. People will value it so much that they don't look at it as an expense. They look at it as an investment, and you don't have those haggling conversations about price. It's just, you know, here is the transformation.
Excellent. Now, this is a question more along the lines of the global context we find ourselves in today, and it's from Lynn, who's in the United Kingdom. And Lynn asks, how do you continue to believe in yourself and moving forward in business when times are challenging like they are now?
Oh, yeah, that is, you know, now is the time for innovation. The greatest innovations that happened in the 20th century all happened during the Great Depression. In the United States, more patents were filed during that time than at any other time. So the hard times really force us to zero in on what matters and to release what's mediocre. We can't afford any mediocrity right now. Now, a few years back, we could afford mediocrity because everybody had overextended themselves on credit. And, hey, you want to buy this thing for $10,000? Okay, sure, whatever. Just charge it. I'll pay it later. And now it's all crashing down, and everyone is looking at their money differently. And so to continue to believe in yourself and move forward in your business when times are challenging right now is, once again, to look at your business and weed out the mediocre. Weed out the things that are not serving you. You know, my client that I referenced earlier, she had, it was like the equivalent of a crowded shop. You walk into it and there's stuff everywhere and you can never really tell what you're looking for. It's just like one of those junk shops that has so many things. And then when we found her showcase piece and we really put it out there, that changed everything. So letting go of what's mediocre and really finding out what is that piece that is, and this is the whole concept of the profitable essence, what is that piece about you that's remarkable and distinctive and people want to buy it? It immediately touches into the needs of your market. It's simplifying everything and getting rid of a lot of the clutter.
That's excellent advice. And Nancy, I just wanted to squeeze one more question in. Now, we've touched on it briefly earlier in the call, and I've had a few live questions come in on the topic as well. And this question is actually from Catherine in the United Kingdom. And Catherine asks, is your life purpose the same as your profitable essence?
Yeah, not really. Because, you know, I'm not a life coach. And I know that there are people who are life coaches who do things about life purpose. And what I've done all the different types of things to find out, you know, just what's my path and what's my purpose and yada, yada, yada. And there would be all this nebulous stuff around business. Ooh, your purpose means you'd be great as a public speaker. It's like, okay, great. So what do I do? How do I get that public speaking thing down? It's like, oh, I don't know. I guess you'll have to find the help. So the part about the profitable essence is it's, you know, it's going into that place of purpose, but it's giving it a job. It's giving it a job description. So that way you actually know what you want to do. So if you feel called to be a public speaker, well, you know, that's great. I'm excited, but we need to find a way to monetize it. And so what does that mean? Do you need to, I mean, what are the exact steps? Do you want to speak to what kind of audience? Do you want to charge for it, or do you want to speak and sell products? I mean, what are the different ways you want to do it? Do you want to get a corporate sponsorship? Let's monetize it, and let's figure out your message. And there are lots of people speaking, so let's make it so that you're the one who's speaking and making money.
Mm.
So it's really taking that purpose and giving it a purpose. Actually, it's like giving it a job description, because it's like, you know, everybody's sitting around like, oh, this is my purpose. And it's like, but I'm not making any money. And I think, gosh, we need to fix that. That's a problem.
I love it, giving purpose a purpose. Awesome. Well, Nancy, you've actually just really blessed all of us today with so many wonderful insights over the last 50 minutes. And I know, like, I've been taking notes furiously as we've been going through the call, and I've picked up some really useful distinctions that I'll be able to apply to my own business and the way that I do things. And I guess for people that are listening to the call who have really resonated with your message, I know we've sort of touched on a few different access points, but just for the benefit of everyone at home, I was just wondering if you could actually share how people can keep in touch with you, also about your upcoming events, and maybe also how they can also re-download that worksheet as well.
Okay, sure, and I'll make sure I spell it. The download is at www.profitable, which is spelled P-R-O-F-I-T-A-B-L-E, essence, ESSENCE.com/handout. Just go there, and you can take a 20-question assessment, give you an idea of, you know, there's some action steps that you can take. There's some success stories. And then also, if people are interested in having a quick discussion around what came up, and you are interested in learning more about resources that I offer, or you realize, okay, this is the step that I need to take, there is a web address in there. It's www.talkwithnancy.com. And you can apply for a laser conversation around, you know, what's popping up for you around Profitable Essence, and just do a quick assessment of you and go over your assessment. So that's if you're, you know, looking at this as a long-term solution for you and your business. If you are in and around, or would like to be in and around Southern California, June 3rd, 4th, and 5th, I'm having a live event, and we've got people coming from Australia, we've got people coming from Costa Rica, Canada, Alaska, Hawaii, all over the U.S.
Wow.
Really exciting, exciting time. It's called I Heart My Biz, and it's really about embracing the heart of your business and, you know, getting to the core of who you are when you're doing your greatest work and what will make you the most money the fastest. So that way, when you apply all the tactics like social media and publishing and, you know, all of the different things that we use to get visible, you will arrive at a much higher level. You will have better results. You'll make more money. And also, just being at this event, you are connecting with incredible people. I mean, you will make money just by attending this event because of the powerful connections that can be made. And I'm actually hosting a pre-event teleclass on May 26th. So if you're listening to it and you're thinking about this event, you want to definitely sign up now, because the pre-event teleclass is called Cashing In on Live Events. And I'm going to show people, this is how you do it. this is how you make money from attending events. And the website for the event is www.iheartmybiz.com. iheartmybiz.com. And it would just be amazing to have some of your audience join us. We're about 90% full. And so I'm just letting people know, you know, once again, you can use your intuition on this one. Ask that little stoplight, you know, should I go? Does this sound like, would this benefit my business? And if you get that green light, come on over. We want you there before we close the doors.
Excellent. And you also touched on a very interesting point there as well, about connections, Nancy. Like, lots of solo entrepreneurs actually do exactly that. They try and do everything on their own, and I just going to environments such as yours, like, they're just great ways to actually sort of get out of that mindset of doing everything on your own and actually really collaborating and meeting interesting people that can help propel you forward on your business.
Yeah. Awesome. There's it's a great resource, and just really excited to be able to be here and share it with your audience.
Mm. Now, for people that come along to the workshop, what sort of stage are they at in their business? Are there people starting out, or is a good mixture of people at all different stages of the journey?
Very good mixture. It's a very good mixture. And see, this is one of the great things. I have a client that I was just talking to yesterday. She took a class that I taught last summer on how to use Twitter for your business. She was at ground zero. And this was a class, I think it might have been in August. After that, she took a teleseminar with me about soft selling with social media. You know, she was just like inching her way along. She sent me a message on Facebook. She said, you know, I'm nowhere. I'm a newbie. I don't know what to do. But I have this passion. I want to move forward. And what was so amazing is that I talked to her yesterday, and she said, I can't believe where I am right now. She goes, less than a year later, she created this group on Facebook with, you know, she had 900 people in the first week or so.
Right.
She's getting business. She's got clients. She's created it. So it's really incredible.
That's awesome. Great. Now, Nancy, one final question, just with your own journey as well. Like, you've been doing this for a long time now and serving people really share their essence. I was just wondering how your own essence is looking to unfold with your business. What exciting unfoldings do you envision in your own business?
Well, you know, my profitable essence is being able to spot what's unique and distinctive about somebody and point it towards something that will make them money. And that's my commitment, to just continue in that realm and helping as many people as possible and using whatever tools. So we, you know, use social media. Are we going to use, is it something else? I mean, there's really, there's so many opportunities out there right now for people. And so I really want to be able to show people what they can't see in themselves and in their businesses, and give them the tools and the space and the resources to be able to experience that. And I truly feel that we can make a huge difference in the world. There's just so much happening right now around, you know, conscious entrepreneur movement and people who are blending this piece of personal development with their businesses. And it's just, I think, probably the most exciting time to be alive right now. It's amazing what's happening, and I'm just really, really honored to be part of this movement.
Absolutely. And I can echo those statements entirely. Well, Nancy, we've come to the end of our call, and I just really wanted to take this opportunity to thank you wholeheartedly for sharing so freely today, the wisdom that you've brought to this call and your essence as well, like just really sharing from that heart space has touched me, and I'm sure it's touched everyone who has had the fortune to listen to this call today and for people who listen back to the recording in the future. I just really wanted to thank you and acknowledge you and just really recognise the fact that you are a pioneer in this very exciting blending of our human spirit and the business domain.
Thanks for saying that, Damien. That just really, I feel validated right now hearing you say that, and I really appreciate it.
Cool. And this, of course, this show would not be complete without everyone at home. This space that we hold week to week is a very important part of this unfolding that humanity is experiencing, where we are lifting our consciousness and finding new ways of connecting and being of service to others. And I just really wanted to thank and acknowledge each and every single one of you at home, wherever you are in the world, for being part of this community. And just sending in your questions week to week, and also sending in your feedback after calls are finished as well. Now, for those of you who would love to listen to this recording again, it will be made available for free on the People You Should Meet website. It'll be up there first thing tomorrow morning. And I guess for people who are also think this message will enhance the life of a friend, a colleague, a family member, we do urge you all to not be shy in taking that step forward in actually sharing this powerful teaching freely with people all around you. Now, on the People You Should Meet website, we've just laid in a whole series of different social networking tools to make this sharing process easier than ever before. Literally, you can actually share these recordings with just a click of a button, with the Facebook share buttons or the Twitter share buttons, and really give your whole community and friends and families access to this material. So we do urge each and every single one of you to do that if you feel so moved. Awesome. So that wraps up another call, and I just really wanted to, again, thank you, Nancy, and thank you, everyone at home.
Thank you.